This time, the children, kindergarten to sixth grade, would be dismissed for children's church. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. So we've been looking at prayer as the primary work of God's people. Over the last couple of weeks, we continue on the series today, talking about listening in prayer. We've talked about being a house of prayer for a couple weeks. Last week, talking about prayer being a means and a form of surrender, coming, aligning ourselves with God as we pray his kingdom to come, his will to be done out of worship and praise and prayer. Today, we're going to talk about listening in prayer, and today will be the first of two messages on listening in prayer. Today, kind of an example through the life of Samuel, and so if you have a Bible with you or on your phone, I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So if you begin in Genesis, you have the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua, Judges, Ruth, smaller book, and then you'll run into 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And so we want to look at the life of Samuel this morning and in the very beginning, his calling to be a prophet of God, and get an overview of listening to God in prayer. Next week, we'll look at some specifics and some helpful tips on doing that. 1 Samuel chapter 3 is where we'll be looking, and we'll spend some time working through that this morning as we come to communion. So I want to share as we begin a story from a book called Stark Raving Obedience by Ted and Isaiah Kalman. And this is a true story that they open their book with. I want to read it to you. They title it A Very True Story. A woman in mid-Michigan had just begun to listen for the voice of God when she prayed. And one day, driving on her way home, she felt something in her spirit say, "Stop in the 7-Eleven and go stand on your head next to the soda machine." Was that God? To her, it felt more like some bad cold cuts in her lunch or some short circuit in her brain. Then she heard that internal voice again, "Stop in the 7-Eleven and go stand on your head next to the soda machine." By now, she could see the 7-Eleven, but elected to continue on her way home. Now, God didn't make insane requests like that, especially not to people like her. Old Testament prophets and ascetic Nazarenes maybe, but not normal people. But this time, the nudge had urgency. Go back to the 7-Eleven and stand on your head next to the soda machine. So she turned her car around and parked in front of the 7-Eleven. There were no other cars, so she thought that was good. At least no one would stare at her. And why exactly was she doing this? A young man stood behind the counter, and the woman wished that he would go back into the back room to stock some things. She went over next to the soda machine, stood on her head, and nothing happened. Weren't the heavens supposed to have torn open and the sound of angel choirs singing because she obeyed? What gives? So the woman began to walk out. The young man behind the counter stopped her. "Excuse me, why did you just do that?" She told him to please just forget about it. "I'm sorry to have bothered you," she said. "I'm a little embarrassed." He insisted, "No, I have to know why you did that." Then he pulled a gun out from under the counter and said, "A half hour ago, I had this gun in my mouth. And at the last moment, I gave God one more chance. I said, 'God, if you're all that big, why don't you send somebody in here and have them stand on their head by the soda machine?'" And then he proceeded to ask, "Could you tell me about God?" True story. And God is speaking. Amen. God is always speaking. He's spoken through his word, which we are going to look in together this morning. And through his word that he has spoken through, the Holy Spirit of God illuminates and gives us fresh understanding. It's the reason why you can read a passage of scripture one time and a week or two later or a year or two later, read it and get something that you never saw before, because the Holy Spirit will allow us to see things as we read and study that we didn't see before. But God also speaks to us by the ministry of Christ through the Holy Spirit as we walk with him through life in an intimate and personal relationship. Now, if you get nervous by that for a moment, let me make sure that I say again very clearly, we believe that the scriptures are the full revelation of God for everything that we need to know about him, that we need to know about us, that we need to know about life, that we need to know about salvation, that we need to know about our destiny with him forever. That the scriptures are complete in what they speak to. And so we're not saying that scripture is not somehow complete and we need new revelation. Not at all. But what about those things that scripture does not specifically speak to? When I say that, these are the kinds of things I'm talking about. What job should I take? Who should I marry, or should I get married? How do I navigate this challenging situation that I'm facing in my life, whether it be with kids or grandkids or a spouse, or whether just some challenge that you're facing? How do I navigate it? What are the specific steps I need to take? And when we're in the midst of medical challenges in our lives, how do I know what decision to make, what doctor to go to? Should I have surgery or should I not have surgery? What about those? Because those are the questions that we can't look specifically at a scripture verse and say, you should marry Stephanie for me. You're not going to find it in scripture that Mark Conklin should marry Stephanie Harrison. So how do you hear, how do you know the direction of God? Thankfully, he speaks. He prompts us. He guides us. The Lord is always speaking if we're listening. And he is always leading us as he speaks to us to come to a place of greater intimacy with him, not just on what we should do. And so over these next couple of weeks, I want to talk to you about listening to God in prayer. So Samuel is a good place for us to start. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It'd be sermon notes on your bulletin, and the fill-ins on the screen are real simple today. They're not very involved. But it gives you some place to jot some notes if you want to. So listening to God in prayer. Samuel begins, it's a story of Hannah, one of two wives of a man, and desperately wanted a child and said to the Lord, if you will just give me a child, I will offer this child to you to serve you forever with all of his life. So the Lord hears her cry, answers her prayer. She has a young boy named Samuel, and when this young boy is weaned, she takes him to the temple and offers him to Eli the priest to be able to learn the ways of God and to serve the Lord in the temple forever. Eli, the high priest at that time, had two sons who did not have the ways of God in mind in their lives at all. They were wicked. They did the very opposite of what God called them to as priest's sons. And they used it for their profit and their gain, and they were wicked, the scriptures say. And Eli, being a priest, being a godly man, though, knew all that his sons were doing. Yet his sin was that he did nothing about it. And so here you have Eli, who is not reigning in his sons, who are acting wickedly, and now Samuel comes on the scene. Verse 1 begins, and it says, the boy Samuel, and when we scriptures say the boy, there are other places in scripture that will use the same word in the original language that probably means that Samuel was not a young boy, but more of an early teenage boy. So this young teenager Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And pay attention to what the next phrase says. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. We'll come back to that in a moment. Verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Notice, who called Samuel? The Lord. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he, Samuel, went back and lay down. Verse 6, again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel, pay attention to this verse as well. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." In these first eight verses, it's very important for us to pay attention to that statement at the beginning of verse 1. That in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Most likely, this was due to the fact, not that God was not speaking, but that Eli and his sons were not living in right relationship and leading Israel in a right way. Wherever the word of the Lord is not honored, the word of the Lord is not heard and received. So Eli, even though his sons were wicked, was not faithful in what he knew he needed to do and stop them. Those who were in charge were not faithful to listen to the Lord. As a result, Samuel, who had served the Lord in the temple since he was a young boy weaned by his mother, was unaware that the Lord was speaking to him. Isn't that interesting? Day after day, Samuel is there serving in the temple. He would have known all about God. He would have heard all about him. He would have seen the things that were all about worship, the sacrifices, all the things of temple worship that were going on. Yet it says he did not know the voice of the Lord. He did not yet know him. It tells me that you can be around God and not be aware of his voice. You can be religious. You can do all the things. You can be a Christian and not know the voice of the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the voice of the Lord because it says it had not been revealed to him yet. Around him, but not intimately aware of the Lord. See, listening prayer is less about hearing what God wants us to do and more about having intimate relationship developed with him. For a lot of us, prayer is talking at God. It's telling God all the things that I want God to do. Or it's even, in a good way, praising him and telling him all the things that he is good and that he is worthy of our praise. And I thank you for this and all of these things. And I ask you to forgive me of this. And we talk to God a lot. But don't listen. We believe that God is a God who not only wants to hear our prayers, but he wants to speak to us in prayer. But we have to listen to be able to hear. It's about conversation. So what are some reasons that, like Samuel, we might not know the voice of the Lord? Because where we want to begin is we want to become aware of the Lord's voice. We want to become aware of the Lord's voice. Samuel did not have awareness of the Lord's voice. Three times the Lord said, "Samuel." And all three times he thought it was Eli. Though around him, he did not have personal, intimate awareness of the voice of the Lord. So what are some reasons we can lack awareness? Well, one is, like Samuel, we may lack intimacy with God. We may know about him, but not have personal relationship closeness with him. I can say that for my life, up until about 2009, when I went on a missions trip to Mexico and saw God at work in ways I had never seen him at work before, I came back and I said, I need to know God the way the people that were there in Mexico knew God. I knew there was something that I was missing in my intimate relationship with God. And so I had a good trusted mentor who began to talk to me about his relationship with the Lord. And the first thing that he said, have you ever practiced listening prayer? And I said, I have absolutely no idea what listening prayer is. It wasn't that I did not pray, but the majority of my prayer life was talking to God. It was asking God for things. It was worshiping through prayer. It was praising. It was adoring. It was thanking. It was confessing. It was interceding. But I didn't have a paradigm. I didn't have an understanding of the fact that God could actually talk to me. And so like Samuel, I lacked that intimacy. I was fully a Christian. There was no doubt about it. I was even a pastor. But I had not understood about listening to him. Prayer was talking to him, at him, not listening. And so over the next months, I began to spend more time alone with the Lord, and I learned to listen to the voice of God. And my spiritual life with him, my prayer life with him has never been the same. Because I learned that prayer is not just about talking to him, but it's also about listening to him. It's one reason, like Samuel, we may lack intimacy with God. We may fully be a believer, but we may lack intimacy, and listening prayer helps us with that. Second reason we may lack awareness of the voice of the Lord is that, like Eli and his sons, we may not be right with God. Now, this could take a couple of forms. One, you may not have come to a place in your life where you've received Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. And so not having right relationship with God by repenting of our sins and asking Jesus to be our Savior, which we're going to come around the communion table. It's his body given for us, broken for us, his blood shed for us. Our faith in Christ through his work on the cross brings salvation to us as we trust him for the forgiveness of our sins and for him to be Lord and Savior. So maybe one reason that you're not a Christian or is because you haven't received Jesus as Savior. But you may be a believer and there's some stuff in your life that you know is not right with the Lord. The Lord's been mentioning it to you. He's been speaking it to you through his word. Others have come alongside of you and said, hey, there's this area of your life. Are you aware of this? And you know about it. And you've refused to confess it and repent and turn more towards the ways of the Lord. Like Eli and his sons, we will not hear the voice of the Lord if we're not living in right relationship with him. So that may be a second reason. A third reason is we don't believe that he speaks. Or we don't expect him to. I know there are some folks who believe that God spoke to people back then that way in prayer, but he doesn't speak to them today like that. I believe that God still does. But if we don't expect him to, we don't believe that he does, it's going to be hard to hear him, right? If we have no expectation of coming to prayer that God may speak to me through the ministry of the Spirit, through Christ, then I'm probably not going to hear it. Last night, I was driving on Dorseyville Road. And if you've been on Dorseyville Road, you know Dorseyville Road goes all like this, as do a lot of roads around in western Pennsylvania. So I'm driving on Dorseyville Road, and there have been many occasions when I'm driving on Dorseyville Road, and it's nighttime, that deer either are standing in the middle of the road, like, what are they thinking? Just standing there. Or they love to dart out right in front of you. I'm sure if you have driven a car for any period of time, you've had an experience like that, and you may have even got one of them along the way when they ran out in front of you. And so I am extra vigilant because I know the places where they sometimes run out, and it's dark. You can't see quite that well. And so I'm driving, and I am looking side to side as I'm driving, waiting for either the deer to be standing in the middle of the road when you come around a bend or for one of them to dart out. And I'm looking for this big brown thing. And I come around a bend, and at the last second, something runs out. But it wasn't a big brown thing. It was a small, goofy looking thing. It was a little possum. And I was able to miss him at the last second, but here's the thing. I almost hit that little thing. Because I wasn't looking for it. I was looking for something else. I was looking for the big deer. And I almost got the little possum. See, it's like that sometimes in prayer. If we're not expecting, if we're looking for something else, if I'm coming into prayer and I'm just expecting to talk to God and I'm not expecting to hear from him, most likely I'm not going to hear what he wants to say to me because my expectation is on something completely different. And so becoming aware of the voice of the Lord is about coming in expectation. It's about coming and saying, Lord, I want deeper intimacy with you. I want to know you more. If there's things in our lives that need to be dealt with, it's dealing with those things so that we are in a place where we can listen to him. To listen in prayer to the voice of the Lord means becoming aware first of his voice. Secondly, listening to God in prayer, and this is going to sound really simple, it's listening. The end of verse 8 through verse 14 says, then Eli realized after three times of the Lord calling to him, then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, or his sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. How would you like that to be the first word that you ever heard from the Lord? To hear from God after Eli finally tells to hear, as you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, to hear this harsh word against your mentor. You know, there's a difference between just hearing and listening. I'm not going to get into marriage stuff here at all. But how often in relationships in general do you hear somebody talking and you nod along, and after a while the other person says, are you even listening to me? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What'd I say? I don't know. See, there's a difference between sitting and hearing, because hearing is about an audible noise coming to you. I hear noise. Listening is, I hear your voice. I hear what you are saying. I process it. I interact with it so that I understand it and I can respond to you in a relational conversation. See, Samuel didn't just hear the voice of the Lord, but now in coming to understand that it was the Lord, said, speak, Lord, for your servant is, what do you say? Listening. He didn't just hear a voice and then go to Eli. He understood who it was, and now he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Friends, putting ourselves in a place where we can not only hear the voice of the Lord, but listen to the voice of the Lord, intently understanding what he is saying to us, intently understanding his word to us, through scripture, through the gentle promptings of the Spirit to us, is a relational process that develops intimacy with him, develops relationship with him. And it begins with a simple question, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Be aware of the Lord's voice. Listen to the Lord's voice. Don't just hear it. And lastly, respond to the Lord's voice. Verses 15 to the end of the chapter says, Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." And the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. We're told that Samuel laid down until morning, and when morning came, he opened the doors to the temple and came to Eli, and understandably, he was afraid. The first word he ever got from the Lord was a word of great judgment against his mentor, Eli, and his family. But Eli, notice Eli's response. Even though he has not done what was right in the eyes of the Lord, says to Samuel, "Share it. It doesn't matter what it is. Tell me it. Hide nothing of it from me." And there's a lesson in that, I think. That we all need people in our lives who have gone before us in faith who know the voice of the Lord. Now, Eli wasn't perfect, was he? We need people in our lives, even if they're not perfect, even if they don't have all their ducks in a row all the time perfectly, but who know the voice of the Lord, to be able to understand and allow them to speak into our lives and help us to know the voice of the Lord. And who will encourage us to listen to the voice of the Lord and to respond to the voice of the Lord. Because I'm sure if Samuel had his way, what would he have done? He would just gone about his day. "Oh, nothing. I don't think I would want to say that word to someone who was a mentor to me, a father figure to me. "Hey, by the way, you're being blotted out forever." But he had a man in his life who was willing to help him understand. Even if Eli didn't get it right away, eventually he understood. This is the voice of the Lord. Listen and do what he says. Tell me what he says. Tell me. And Samuel's response, despite the fear, set him on a path of favor with the Lord and a track record of, I love what verse 19 said, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Talk about a heart of response. Talk about a life of response. That Samuel heard the word of the Lord, and every word that was spoken, he did not treat it lightly, but he responded and did exactly what the Lord said to do. He let none of the words of the Lord fall to the ground. That is a young man who began to understand that the voice of the Lord is powerful and will change lives. That the voice of the Lord is to be revered. The voice of the Lord is to be honored. The voice of the Lord is to be responded to when he speaks. In our discipleship class on Tuesday mornings and Thursday nights, we've taken a little detour the last 4 weeks from the book of Acts and have looked at Hebrews. In the beginning of Hebrews, in chapter 4, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as those who disobeyed in the desert did in Israel." If you hear his voice, follow Samuel's legacy, follow his way, and respond today. Respond to what the Lord says. And notice the result. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. See, there's something powerful that happens when we learn to be aware of the Lord's voice, when we listen to his voice, and when we respond to his voice, there will be an intimacy that will develop with you and God. And God will use you to do things that people will begin to notice. And understand, this is not about getting people to notice you. But this will open up opportunities for you to lead people to Christ, to give glory to Christ, to tell others about how good God is by being a person who is aware of the Lord's voice in your life, who responds to the Lord's voice in your life, who carries out what you hear from him. People will see it over time. They will take notice and they will say, "What in the world do you have?" Because it's intimacy with God. Samuel was a man, young man, who grew to a man who was aware of the Lord's voice, who listened to his voice, and who responded to his voice. Before we go to communion, I want to take a moment and show you about a 2-minute, almost 3-minute clip of a testimony from one of our teachings from Dr. John Soper on some of distinctives of our denomination, the Alliance, that is all about prayer. Prayer is our primary work, but it's a testimony about E.D. Whiteside, Daddy Whiteside, who is the founder of Allegheny Center Alliance Church, and who was a great man of prayer. Watch this testimony.
Hello again. If you're anything like me, you learn a lot from other people. That's why telling you the stories of these great men and women of faith is so meaningful to me. Are you ready to meet another real life hero? His name was E.D. Whiteside, and he was the founding pastor of Allegheny Center, a thriving church on the north side of the great city of Pittsburgh. He was truly a remarkable man. He was an amazing evangelist who started his pastoral work by running a rescue mission in his adopted city, and who never tired of scouring the grimiest streets and jails of the Steel City in search of one more man or woman who needed a Savior. He was an incredible pastor to hundreds of people who he taught to love and to live like Jesus. Scores of those people actually came to live with Daddy Whiteside and his incredible wife Annie. They actually became his family. He was a strategist, an apostle to that part of Pennsylvania where he lived. He trained and deployed a small army of men and women to blanket the whole region with New Alliance branches. Even today, there are more CMA churches in western Pennsylvania than in any other area of our country, and many of these can trace their origins directly back to Daddy Whiteside or one of his disciples. But the thing that he was most known for is reflected in the nickname by which he came to be known. They called him the Praying Man of Pittsburgh. The stories about the power and vitality of this man's prayer are legion. His characteristic response whenever anyone came to him with a problem was, "Well now, let's take that to the Father." Let me tell you just one story about his prayer life. At one point in his ministry, Whiteside and his wife purchased a home in a strategic area. The idea was that they would live in the home but build an addition off the front of the house to serve as a chapel for a new church. The plans for the addition were drawn and the architect was paid $100. But a neighbor objected, saying that the new addition would block the view from his home. Characteristically, Whiteside took the problem to the Father. As he prayed on his knees in an upstairs room, he felt God telling him to go downstairs. He went down the stairs. Then God said, "Go outside." He went outside. "Turn left. Walk down this street." Whiteside walked for several blocks. Then he felt the voice within him say, "Turn here." He did, and was confronted with a newly constructed meeting hall and a sign that said, "For rent." And for $60 a month, God provided a place for the new church to begin.
Isn't that a cool story? See, I fully believe, because I've seen it in my own life and the lives of others, that God still speaks today if we are willing to listen. E.D. Whiteside was a man of intimacy with the Lord. And out of his intimate prayer life, it wasn't just talking at God. Sure, he talked at God. But he spent a lot of time listening to. God has the answers. And God will lead us where we need to go as we draw near to him. As we prepare to come to the communion table, I want to just give us a few moments to listen. No music playing in the background, no noise, as much as is possible in this world. But just like Samuel, would you pray a simple prayer? I'll lead us to start as we come to the communion table. Lord, speak. If you so desire, for your servant is listening. And see what the Lord would want to say. Doesn't mean that he has to say anything, but we just want to give him space. So let's take a few moments to listen. So Lord, I thank you that you are a speaking God. You speak through your word. You speak by your spirit. And so Lord, we're here. We, your servants, offer ourselves to you. Lord Jesus, if there's anything you desire to say to us, we, your servants, are listening. Feel free to speak.